Hello and welcome to another episode of Annotated 911. I'm Fradit and I'm here with my co-host.
I'm Spoon.
And today we're talking about season 9, episode 6, right?
Which is, yes, family history.
Family history. What are your thoughts?
Well, initially that incredibly gruesome family reunion scene, which I had forgotten about.
Yeah.
until I rewatched it, I was like, oh yeah, I remember why I blocked this from my mind.
Yeah, that's up there with like Chopped in Half Motorcycle Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really gruesome. I was watching it. Normally I watch like in my bedroom on my computer, but I was watching it out in the living room and Mr. Butt was at his desk, which is in the living room. And I was like, don't turn around. Just play.
I'm not usually that bothered by like the gory stuff, but for some reason this one really got to me.
And I mean, hand injuries are like, I don't want my hands messed up. So it's really easy to be like, no. Although that also reminded me of the other Lost Finger episode with the fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. God, what season was that?
6, I think.
Sounds right.
The thing that bugged me about that one is by the end of the scene, they have an unaccounted for thumb.
And then they never find out who it belongs to, do they?
They never reveal who that missing thumb. They have an extra thumb, and it's like, whose thumb is that? You guys don't care?
Don't worry about it. Somebody will probably call 911.
Buck once again on appendage retrieval duty.
He's so chipper about it, too.
Yes. Like, that's like his job. Generally speaking, it's like somebody's missing an arm or a leg or a nose or a thumb.
He's got to go find it.
Buck, go find this. Dig this out of the pool.
He likes gross stuff. It's fine.
He does. That's in its enrichment for him. But like, I don't know. It's just interesting to me that's like, we always spend so much time in our little fan fiction world, like concentrating on like their inner world and their feelings and their relationships with each other. And like, sometimes I just kind of like step back and I'm like, these are people who have held severed human limbs in their hands on more than one occasion. And that's like part of their life experience.
Changes your perspective on things, right?
Yeah. But yeah, that's this episode for me. It's kind of similar to the last episode structurally in that, I don't know, these two episodes both have a lot of plots that they're trying to balance. The last episode had 3 that I recall, and I felt the balance worked pretty well. This one has 4,
yep.
Which is a lot, and I felt the balance did not work well, specifically because...
The chimney thing.
Which we brought up both previous episodes, but now here we are at the villain episode of this particular issue that we have, and yeah. On repeat viewing, it's still an issue for me.
Yeah, it's just that we don't. I think it could have worked if we had had more build up in prior episodes to him kind of grappling with this. But we don't. We have him kind of say it once to Maddie,
well,
and then
the way
to Eddie in like the first episode, and then it's kind of not really brought up as like something he's struggling with.
Yeah. And the way I would have fixed this episode if I was the showrunner, you can't, like, for me, the odd man out plot in this episode is the Athena plot.
Yeah.
The other 3 plots are advancing like currently relevant character beats of Harry becoming a probationary firefighter, training for that, establishing Hen's dreadful illness, and Chimney taking the captaincy. And so, like, the Athena plot was really good.
Right.
You can just cut it out and save it for a later episode.
Yeah.
Without affecting anything. But you do still need Athena in the episode because she's Angela Bassett.
Yeah. And, like, I do like that we get that kind of moment between her and May. Because I
loved
think,
it.
Like,
I loved all of it.
It's really good. But,
which
yeah,
is
I
why
think it's
I
like,
would just, I just remove it. And just like
put
set
it back
it aside
in somewhere later in the
and
season.
Put it somewhere later.
Maybe
like just whole cloth, just take
plots.
It and put it somewhere else. Like keep it and just, you know, they've done that with a lot of calls. So it doesn't.
Right. And this is something that, like you said, it doesn't really, it's not necessary that it has to be in this episode.
Yes. It doesn't
it
need to
be really
here
anywhere.
Specifically. It can go anywhere. And so I would take Athena's plot out of this and insert Athena into the Chimney plot.
Yep.
Because it kind of brings it back to the conflict they had immediately following Bobby's death. And I could see, especially since she didn't come to the dedication ceremony at the beginning of the season, that one of Chimney's anxieties is sort of this.
Right. How is she going to feel?
How is Athena going to feel about it? And so, you know, it's a type of scene they do on a pretty regular basis where, you know, sort of two characters that don't frequently have a scene together kind of like come together and have like a heart to heart talk about something that's sort of, you know, like there was that really good one with Maddie and Hen about her getting married to Chimney.
Yeah.
And so it would be something sort of like that where, you know, he's kind of struggling with this and Maddie is obviously like fully supportive.
Right. Yeah.
And so
but
he knows
going to be,
he knows what she's going to say. And so maybe he's like seeking advice from someone else who he thinks has like a reasonable say in weighing in on if he does this or not. Like,
right. And whose reaction he's not completely confident of. Like, Maddie was always going to support him and think that he's qualified and think he should do this. But Athena, even if they're okay now, might not.
Yeah. And I mean, they did have that moment at the end of season 8 where, you know, she's like, you did great.
Yeah.
He'd be proud of you or whatever. And it was really, you know, I cried. But like, I don't think it would hurt, especially since it's two different seasons. I don't think it would hurt to like revisit that energy as a way to have Chimney express his hesitancy to someone.
Yeah.
And just like kind of get it like we talked about in the last episode that, you know, because this is a visual medium, the characters need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Or we don't get access to their inner world really. And so I think that would solve the problem of what do we do with Athena in this episode if she's not investigating something and give Chimney more of the screen time that I think such a huge plot point for him deserved.
Right. Especially since it's like it's already established as something he's hesitant about. So they've kind of set it up as a plot. This isn't just, they didn't set it up as if he's just going to be captain and it's fine. Like they set it up as a plot.
Yes.
But they kind of didn't really do anything with the ending of it. It's like, oh, he just changed his mind. And
He made his decision off screen and then they did it as like a fun reveal, like a, like a twist ending. Chimney, what are you doing here?
Right. And I love that. I thought that was so fun, but I think it would have landed better if he had had that conversation with maybe Athena as well.
Yeah, I just needed at least one more scene of him. Maybe like he leaves the conversation with Athena and it's, I don't know, if they really want to keep the reveal of like, he did it.
He's still got mixed feelings or whatever. He's still not sure.
Yeah, But I don't know. To me, there was quite a bit of establishing that he's hesitant about be taking the captaincy officially, and zero establishing
why he changed his mind.
Why he changed his mind, or that he changed his mind.
Right.
Like the whole process of him grappling with that and actively changing his mind. Like, it's like
we got the grappling at the beginning, but not the, like, okay, the solution, the resolution of this.
Yeah. Like, where's the, like, I don't know. I just want to visibly see the change in his perspective on this. Like,
right.
I want to see him come out of his chrysalis as like a beautiful new butterfly. You know?
I mean, I do think that making the decision to have him formally take on the role of captain in this episode, right before everything is going to blow up with Hen, was a great choice. Like, that is going to be the first challenge he has to face.
Yes.
So I think that part needed to be in this episode, but I needed to see more of him, kind of grappling with it.
Yeah. And it was just a matter of they just simply didn't have time.
Right.
And they could have. They could have had time. I fixed it. Just put Athena in the chimney plot. That solves both issues, you know.
Yep.
But I mean, like, everything they did give us, I did like.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just that, you know, on balance, I think some things needed to be redistributed.
Yeah.
It's not like I was watching any part of it and being like, this is bad.
everything we got is good. We just needed more or different.
Yeah. But I loved that opening scene with Maddie and Chimney. And I don't know, it was so funny. He's like, but I already told him I didn't want it. And it's like, you can change your mind, dude.
You're allowed to do that. Yeah.
It's not like it's like a no takesies backsies sort of situation. Like,
well, we have the same thing with Harry at the end. It's like, well, I already dropped out. What am I going to do? It's just over with forever.
Yes, it's too late. I've already done it.
You
There's
just
no
need
going
Buckley
back.
To show up and like strong arm you into it.
Yes, I loved the Harry and Buck stuff this episode.
That was great. That was so good.
I absolutely loved it. I loved it so much.
Buck indulging his inner drill sergeant.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And I feel like they had this like repeating thing where he's got the whistle and he's saying again, again, again. And I have to believe that was a reference to the movie Miracle, which is a movie I desperately love. It's a hockey movie. And the very mean coach in that movie has a whistle and says again all the time and makes them do drills. And I was like, this has to be a reference. Like, it can't. But it was just, again, like, you and I have been gushing about Buck and Harry sort of this whole, like, for every episode so far.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to gush about it again. I love seeing Buck step into this mentor role.
Yep.
Harry brings a really good new energy to the show, I think. I just really like him as an addition to the team.
Yeah.
I
love that scene at the beginning where Buck is like, is your mom
mad
at me?
It's so great because
you
can see him in like detective mode where he's like, hold up. And he starts like asking like clarifying questions, like leading him to, oh God,
I did this. Athena's going to kill me. He feels like he's an accomplice to a crime he didn't commit. That was such a great line.
Yeah. Is your mom mad at me? That's the thing we cannot have. I will kick you out of my house right now.
And then Harry's like, I have to do this completely on my own by myself. I need your help.
Yes. Yeah. Again, he's so 18.
He's so 18.
It's just really good.
It was, yeah, it's such a good dynamic, and it's so great in this episode.
Yeah. I loved, Eddie didn't have a huge role in this episode, but the few little, like, funny Eddie moments they gave him were absolutely immaculate.
The protein powder.
The games.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Protein powder in diet soda. Gains.
Lest you ever forget for a moment that these guys are gym bros.
Yes, they're gym bros. They're jock for jock.
Yeah, and hence like having the reasonable, normal human reaction of what is wrong with you.
Yeah. You're both disgusting. And then I also loved the Boy Scout Jamboree. Which is, yeah, like, that's like, he's like, no, they're like, did you see this in Afghanistan? He's like, no, Boy Scout Jamboree, which is a funny joke. And then if you think about it for too long, it's absolutely horrifying. What do you mean you saw that at a Boy Scout Jamboree as like a child?
The little bits of Eddie's backstory that we periodically get are always so great, though.
Yes, yes.
So he's like kind of, well, and he never really explains any of them too, which is great. He's just like, oh yeah, I saw this in this completely bizarre situation. Don't yes. worry about it.
Yeah, I did ballroom dancing. We don't need to discuss it.
Such an Eddie Diaz move.
Yes. Just like dropping vague lore and then walking away. I knew it was the mom being the bully of the daughter. Basically instantly.
I knew it from the trailer, I think.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I knew that was the plot, I knew that was what it was going to be. It's just such a ripped from the headlines kind of.
Yes. Well, and it's just like exactly the sort of reveal that this show likes to do.
Yeah.
Where, you know.
Yeah, it can't be anybody you actually expect.
It's yeah.
The detective movie conundrum. They all have to be red herrings.
Yes. They, I don't know. They just like to. They like to do like Scooby-Doo villain reveals where, aha! And then, like, I don't know, I could just see them feeling like they're so clever.
You tried.
Bet you never thought it was the mom. Yes, I did. I did. Everybody the whole did. Time. But it's fine. I know what show I'm watching. I'm not here to actually be surprised.
Yeah, I mean that plot kind of functions mainly as a vehicle for the Athena and May relationship, which is kind of why I think it would have worked better as a setup for like one of May's arcs later on in the season. Like,
yeah,
for me,
yeah, another point in favor of clipping that whole thing out and putting it somewhere else in the season. Buck's speech at the end was so good. His little speech to Harry about, you know, not giving up on yourself and everything. And then Harry got his own great little speech to the chief.
Yeah.
I don't know. Part of me was just like, why is the chief like, I don't know. I got all like political brain for a second when they're like at the most expensive restaurant in town and the chief's like, yeah, this is like my joint and there's a car coming for me. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why is the fire chief like, why is this the life he's living? No wonder they need $5 million from the shitty billionaire.
That's what it's going for.
Harry's little, I can't eat something with a face that's looking at me. I loved it. I just, it was,
Buck just making the decision to, like, accost the chief in a public space.
And it was such a Buck thing.
It was such a Buck move. And everybody, like, and it works.
That's how he rolls every time. Come help my sister move. Psych. My sister isn't actually moving today. And this is my weird, not girlfriend, not ex-girlfriend's apartment. And also, I've invited someone else here to meet you.
but I'm solving your problem, so it's fine. Like, he keeps getting away with it because it keeps working.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Buck's got plans, and they work.
They're insane plans, but they work. Yeah.
Yes. His plans are crazy, but they work. I struggle to think of a crazy Buck plan that has not worked.
Yeah, I don't think I can.
I don't think I can. But, you know, and that's why Eddie is always just like finger guns to him, because he's got the data. He's got the data to back it up. He's like, you know, I don't, it sounds crazy, but it'll probably work because it usually does.
And if it won't work, it'll be fun.
Yes. But, and also Eddie's crazy too. So,
and also, yeah, mainly
that family reunion though, the, like the fingers coming off aside, like the whole beginning part is like, girl, run.
Right.
This family is insane. Unfiance yourself to this dude and leave immediately. Like, this is not. I don't know. If I walked up to that family reunion and they were all like, we're hyper competitive, I would be like, okay.
All right. That's, I just remembered I have an appointment immediately right now.
I would suffer through that and then later be like, I don't know if it's working between us. I think I mean to date a different guy. I'm like looking at my notes about other thoughts that I've had.
And then, of course, we have the hen thing, which
the
is
hen plot,
sort
yes.
of the big thing, I think, in this episode for me, even though it's sort of in the background.
It's sort of in the background, but it's like it's very emotionally weighty.
And it's this like kind of burgeoning sense of dread, which I always love.
Yes. Yeah. They're like, buckle up, guys. And it's really, it's just as much me screaming at Hen through the television screen as it was the first time, where it's like, girl, what are you doing?
I had forgotten that Maddie was the one who actually inadvertently gave her the idea to go back to the clinic for the CT scan.
Yeah.
Like, oh, too bad we can't carry one of those in the ambulance. And Hen's like, oh, right. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Which is nuts. Like, the whole thing is nuts because it's like thousands of dollars. Like, by the next episode, we find
it's
out that
so
she's,
much money
that she's gotten so many different scans off insurance, I guess, like, because she wants to keep it a secret. But, like, where is this money coming? Like, Karen's not going to see the bills? Like, she's spending thousands and thousands of dollars on this stuff. And
I think it's partly, I think, to hide it and partly this like control freak thing she's got going on where she's like, well, I can solve this. I don't have the equipment, but I can solve this, even as it's obviously becoming more and more clear that she can't solve it and she doesn't know what's going on and she needs to go see an actual doctor.
Yes. But well, like, and she's like an almost doctor, but like,
right. But like, I think the worse it gets, the more stubborn she gets with her decision to do this.
Yes, totally. Of no, I have to crack this. And like, that totally makes sense to me. It's just like you have to suspend your disbelief that somehow Karen, I guess Hen handles all of the bills for the family because somehow Karen isn't seeing this like massive drain
massive
on their
amount of money until months later. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a crazy huge amount of cash that Hen is, I mean, I don't know, maybe she's got like a secret credit card or something.
Separate accounts and a secret credit card, and now the bills have come due.
And it'd be like, I don't know, for me it'd be one thing, I'd almost think she was sort of justified if it was like just the hand shaking or whatever. She fully passes out on the floor of her house for multiple hours and then comes to and immediately lies about it and then is like, no, this is fine. I can fix this myself.
I think something I noticed that I kind of love is that she's lying to Tony on the phone before anything that bad even happens.
Yes.
She's like, oh, yeah, it's a school project.
Yeah.
Like, she cannot admit that something is actually wrong, even if it's if she thinks it's minor at that point.
Yes, totally. Well, and it's because I don't think there's any point where she does think it's minor. I think she knows.
She knows it's serious. Yeah.
She knows the whole time. And that's why she's lying. I love this plot. I love when any of the characters get to be messy, but especially Hen, because she usually is so put together.
I think I love this particularly because it's messy in such a specifically Hen kind of way. Like,
yes,
this is how she would fuck up. This is what she would do. It's the kind of control freak tendencies and the need to always be the strong one and never be a problem and handle everything herself. I mean, it's a similar thing that she does when she's the interim captain in season six. Well, she's in medical school.
Yeah.
And she's like completely overloaded and falling asleep at the wheel and like cannot function, but she won't just give up on it.
Yes. Another girl, what the fuck are you doing moment. You almost fell asleep and died.
Yeah. But it's like, it's she's just got this kind of, I don't even know if it's like really confidence. It's just, she has to handle it herself. She can handle it herself. She's got it taken care of. But then as we see later, she's kind of still resentful that people haven't noticed that she's struggling and stepped in to help.
Well, and I
think
it's
like
does...
such a human reaction, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's like part her personality and then like part her experience in life as
a
black lesbian woman. Like,
yeah, she does not get the room to fuck up that anybody else does.
No, she's always had to operate at 110%. To be considered even giving 75, you know, they're like, you're not, you know, like everything is like written off as not good enough. She has to be better than everybody else that she's like working with, you know,
just to be good enough. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't know, we see echoes of this, like all the way back to like the Hen Begins stuff where she's making decisions like on her own that to like solve problems because like nobody's listening to her or whatever, like she has to
handle it on her own because she genuinely doesn't have the support.
Yeah. And so now that's
a formative
just,
experience for her, I think.
Yeah. And I'm sure that wasn't the first time that had happened to her.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, that's just how she's used to doing it. And I mean, you know, her dad wasn't in the picture. So her mom was like, you know, she had a single mom and who I assume was busy working a lot. And so even from a young age, she was probably had to handle things herself quite often just because of circumstance.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is like, this is how, and again, like this is kind of what we were talking about last episode, where this is a very similar mechanism to Buck, to Eddie. Bobby, Athena, they all have a little bit of this, well, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
Sort of impulse that I think is just a result of them being the sort of person that takes this sort of job. They're like, you know, action oriented
problem solvers.
Yeah. So, you know, but it's interesting to like see the variance between each character as they do this sort of similar behavior. Like when they each encounter personal problems.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that like Hen trying so hard, not just to handle it herself, but like going out of her way to make sure nobody knows what's going on. And for, you know, as we learn later on, for several months, she's doing this as she's actively getting worse. And she's still kind of going out of her way to conceal it.
Yeah.
That's such a Hen move. I love it. Like, it's such a, like, you're not going to deal with this until it blows up in your face. And it, in fact, it does.
Yeah. And Hen and Eddie are really similar in that regard. That they're sort of both like that. The world has to blow up first because their self-image is one of perfection.
They have to be perfect, and anything else is not an option. Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, she just keeps going. She's like, I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. And it's like, girl, you do not.
You do not got this. I love how like mad she is at the doctor, at the guy at the clinic at the end. Like, she's still like, you suck and I hate you.
Yes. She's so mean to him the whole time.
You are a mechanism for me to get access to this machine because I am a doctor and you are not.
Yes. Which, you know, he proved himself to be absolutely useless before.
No, I mean, she's not wrong, but it's so funny that she's like, okay, this man sucks and this clinic is a scam. I'm going to go to it because I'm different.
Yes. Be quiet and run the machine for me. And he, like, he does suck. He like completely let someone die on his watch.
Yeah.
Which the, okay. Like, I have to talk about, I'm going to like briefly dip into some personal stuff. I watched this episode yesterday afternoon. And I'm just like, thank God I watched it yesterday afternoon and not any time earlier than that, because yesterday in the middle of the day, I spent the whole time like driving 2 hours to get a CT scan and then 2 hours home and then watch this episode. And it's so funny because like while I was driving up there, I was just kind of like thinking about how I kind of have like a touch of medical anxiety and how this is not a great show for me to be a fan of because it like just gives you like so many excuses to be like, I don't know, like the head.
It's like the WebMD of TV shows.
Yes. Like, I don't know, like Hen passing out and like nobody finds her or whatever is like a frequent, like irrational, like thought I have where it's like, what if I like just like trip going down these stairs and like break my neck and die, or so, you know, like what if I just like fall down and nobody finds me, like so I was like having that random thought while I was driving. I was like, really wasn't a good choice for you, girl, to like get this is not
this
a good
this was like the exact wrong episode to watch.
Yeah, but like thank God I watched it after, because like I totally forgot about that, and then I come home and then they're like, lady dies in CT scan, and I'm just like, wow, it's really good I didn't watch this before. Which like, you know, now I can be all pedantic about it because I'm like, okay, so this guy would have been like, he was like, an allergic reaction? What? And it's like, that was like the body of the waiver paperwork that I had to sign to get the scan, where they're like, you could have an allergic reaction to the contrast dye, and you need to tell us ahead of time if you know you have that reaction. And if you
and
don't,
you don't get to sue us if we.
If you don't have, if you don't know if you have a reaction to it, then, like, you know, we've got stuff on hand to be prepared if you do. It, like, but yeah, the, it's like it's a 1 in 10,000 chance you'll have a severe allergic reaction and like all this stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, hope I don't have that. Check the box and sign my name. But yeah, like I just, you know, so like then watching the scene, he's like, I don't know what could be going on. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, not
you know,
that I.
You should know. I mean, he's bad at his job.
He's bad at his job. But yeah, like that was for sure in the paperwork that she signed, and he should be fully aware of it. So. Yeah. Not that I expect like medical accuracy from this show.
Ever.
But yes, I don't know. It was just such a funny like confluence of of life events and show events that I had completely forgotten about that lady dying in the CT scan. Thankfully. And it's so, it's like, it's interesting to me when patients die, because like, it doesn't happen very often.
Right. And that one was kind of like very abrupt.
Yeah. Which I'm sure, you know, that part probably is more accurate too.
Right.
My understanding is that in real life, people with this job save people less often than they don't
than
save
in
people.
TV. Yeah.
That not saving people is the preponderance of events.
Yeah. Well, it's like a CPR thing. Like, how often does that actually work in real life? Not very often.
Yeah. Yeah.
But TV, it always works.
Yes.
Not this episode, actually, but in general.
Yes. In general, it does. I loved the, how much they were trading off the CPR in that scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just really like it when they're like, switch, you do it. Like, it feels very like action packed then when and Eddie looked great doing it.
As he always does.
As he always does.
I love Hen like biting the doctor's head off when he's like, oh, shocker.
Yeah.
Shock Ace is like, which is like this show's rare nod to medical realism.
Yes. Like if I knew better, I'm sure I could think of like five other scenes where they did shock a person and it worked and it should not have worked.
Many
yes,
scenes.
Yeah. Frequently they're like, where's the defibrillator? And I'm like, I don't,
I
you know,
think
it's
you
like
need
the
one of
Always
those.
Sunny meme where I'm like, I don't know enough about defibrillation, but I don't think that's how
right.
it works.
Yeah, I don't think I could watch this show if I was a medical professional.
No, I don't think I could. I mean, I know there's people in the fandom who like this is their day job. They are like EMTs or whatever, or like medical people, and more power to you. I'm impressed. I don't know how you do it. I'm like too pedantic.
Yeah. Like I can recognize that this is not at all accurate, but I don't actually know how it's inaccurate, so it doesn't have to bother me.
Yes. I could just be like, oh, well, and then, you
that's
know,
probably
go on.
How it works.
Yeah.
In the universe of the show, which
yes.
is slightly to the left of ours, this is how it works.
Yes, exactly. It's a slightly different dimension than our dimension. I mean, time does move differently there based on how pregnancies and things go.
How many years Buck has been 30 for?
Oh, yes. And then Chimney's captain at the end. I loved that scene. I thought it was really moving. I thought Kenny knocked it out of the park, of course.
As he always does, yeah.
Yeah. And I loved the little moment with Athena and the kids, like discussing the plaque.
Yeah.
And how Athena was like, he'd be so embarrassed, but like secretly he would love it. And I was like, yes,
yeah.
I love that. That's exactly right.
That's exactly correct. Yep.
Yeah. I think this is another example of them handling Bobby's loss well, like writing wise. I don't know, again, I did find myself continually impressed with how they managed to like still weave in his presence and his absence while moving forward with the show, and
yeah,
like
definitely
striking what I thought was a good balance there, because yeah, again, that was like my main fear for episode 9 was, I don't know, so often in ensemble shows like this, when they kill a main character, it's like one or two episodes immediately following where like everybody's like sad about it.
And then just sort of forget it.
Yeah. And then it's never mentioned again.
Yeah, and, no, I like that this took an entire season to kind of deal with the fallout of it.
Yes.
In various ways.
Yeah.
For various characters.
Yes. I loved it. I thought they did a really good job, generally speaking. I mean, there's some stumbles and stuff, but I think overall they stuck the landing, I would say.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And I loved the scene of them giving him the watch.
Yes.
with the, you know, the engraving on it and his beautiful tears.
I love that he's a crier. Him and Maddie both.
Yes. Yes.
It's a very weepy household.
Yeah. The family that cries together. He's just so good. Kenny's so good. He's so good. They need to give him more.
He's good. And I think he's one of the few actors who can pull off these occasionally kind of clunky, sincere speeches that 911 likes to write.
Yes.
And I think that's something that takes a lot of skill as an actor to pull off and make it feel genuine. And he pretty much always knocks it out of the park.
Yeah. He always nails it. He's so good. I think that's all I've got.
And next episode, we have episode 7, which is Secrets, I believe.
I have no idea. I haven't looked ahead yet. It sounds right. And then I think is War after that.
Secrets, then War. Yeah, I think is how it goes.
Which I've got thoughts on that I've been sitting on some thoughts. Yeah, I'm saving them. So when we get there.
All right.
Okay. There's another episode. Thanks for listening. I don't know how to do. I guess we should do like sign offs, like
an outro.
Yeah. Whenever people end podcasts, they're like, "You could find us on whatever." We're on Tumblr. We're only on Tumblr.
We're on Tumblr. You can find us on Tumblr. You can always find us on Tumblr.
Yeah, that's where I live. Okay. Thanks for listening, and see you next time. I guess we're here. You hear us.